how God can help us, how God can bless us. Amen. I wonder how many of you young people that are here right now, amen, in your local section when it was your opportunity, amen, you got involved, amen, in our Friday night prayer meeting. Sometime, somewhere, you got involved. Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. A lot of you are just getting some extra friends benefits. Amen. From some hundreds of hours of prayer, young people that got in touch with God. And I want you to know that preceding our outreach this summer, each one of our sectional directors has been asked to coordinate again in their local section. Amen. Prayer meeting that they'll be telling you more about for the glory of God. I'm telling you, this business of praying is not just for the gray-headed grandmas in our churches. Amen. Not just for praying, hiding that old sage that we know he'll be there praying. It's for some young, energetic, enthusiastic young people who want to be used of God. I'm telling you, you got to learn how to pray. You got to do more than learn it. You got to do it again and again and again. Hallelujah. We're fixing to do that. We're getting the Holy Ghost letting us get all stirred up. The glory and the honor of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I count it an honor to serve you. I truthfully mean that. And I do pray that God will somehow speak to us today. Amen. I need your help, your prayer, and your concern. I about screamed out my voice, having a blast while Brother Huntley's preaching. I've about wiped out my leg that's all shattered up, trying to shout and dance and jump up and down on one leg. And amen. I've paid for it each night when I've gone home. So I don't mind paying a little for it here today. But I want you young people to help me minister to you the word of the Lord, what God has to say for us. Amen. I really do believe the Lord wants to speak to us tonight, this afternoon. Amen. He's going to talk. He's going to talk again this morning. We're going to hear from the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter number 21. I want to read a scripture to you. Amen. And this scripture I have had the Lord impress upon me this past year being a glorious year for the Lord, doors that I have seen open. And I'm telling you, God is doing a work in this world today. Amen. A great, great, great work. And I've seen God do it in the lives of young people. Some of the comments that I'm going to be speaking to you here today. Amen. I have ministered to a couple of times youth rallies in your section. I had all planned what I was going to preach tonight, this day, because every preacher finds it a great joy, steps to the pulpit, say everything brand new, but the Lord worked me over for that. I walked in the door with Brother Huntley the first night. Someone said, "Oh, Brother Huntley, I heard you preach in Texaco." Another one said, "I heard you preach in Arizona." Brother Huntley looked at his wife and said, "What I preached there, what I preached there, what I preached there." I said, "Now, come on, Brother Huntley. You're not going to rob 3,000 young people out here, amen, from hearing what God's given you for the sake of a couple back there in Texaco or Arizona or somewhere else that's heard it. Amen. You need to hear from God." And he has so beautifully ministered unto us. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I'm going to preach to you today, amen, simply about boldness. I do believe that we need a fresh revelation of the important part that young people play. The boldness needs to be done for the task that is before us. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 15, I'm going to use for text here today. "And moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. David went down and his servants with him, fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi-Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he, the being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, smote the Philistine, and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this, there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekiah the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. There was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jehoiakim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. There was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, had on every hand 6 fingers, on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. He also was born to the giant. When he defied Israel, Jonathan, son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, fell by the hand of David, by the hand of his servant. Let's pray right now that God will anoint. Oh, mighty God, we love you. We love you, 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 God. Blessed be the great name of the Lord. I hungrily desire the touch of your great spirit. I hungrily desire the visitation of your mighty power. Blessed be your great name, oh God. I am believing you to minister. I am believing you to speak. I am believing you, God, by the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost, God. Blessed be your great name, Lord. We love you, Redeemer. We love you, mighty God. I thank you for speaking to these young people today. I thank you, oh God, for using the word of the Lord this day. In Jesus' name we ask it. Everybody said amen. Bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about boldness here today. And I do trust and pray God will give to us a fresh revelation of some very, very beautiful things that God has for us. Recently, I did a little survey and reading and studying the scriptures relative to boldness, and I found some things that were very interesting that I want to begin with here today, because I believe you need to get it planted and down in your heart as a Pentecostal conqueror. I found that in the New Testament church, in the book of Acts, you can take time to look up each one of these scriptures. It was a church that was filled with boldness. It was a church that it just oozed out of there. It wasn't something that somebody else had to get them all pumped up on a high about. But it was an inborn thing that God planted within their heart, and they nurtured it, they used it, they developed it. For chapter the 13th verse lets us to know that boldness produced the knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Amen. It didn't produce the knowledge, well, you go down there to that Pentecostal church. It didn't produce the knowledge, well, it looks like you must be a holy roller. You kind of dress kind of different than the rest of us. But boldness produced a knowledge in the unbeliever that they have been with Jesus. Amen. They've been with him. They knew it. They understood it. Later on in that fourth chapter, the 29th verse, I discovered something that literally shocked me from all I've heard and learned all of my life, that prayer for boldness always precedes a request for healing, signs, and wonders. Amen. We are so caught up and so involved in our desire to see demonstration of physical miracles. And we need them, and we're having them, and God's going to send more. But the early church didn't put that number one on their prayer request list. Number one on their prayer request list before healing, signs, and wonders is they prayed for boldness. Hallelujah. They said, dear God, we want a boldness within us that we can witness, that we can testify, that we can tell others of the glory of God. If no blinded eyes get open, if we can boldly declare to them the plan of salvation, what a baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to add to the church daily such as should be saved. God looked down and he saw that boldness and that desire for boldness. Let me tell you, you're not shortchanging God when you start praying for boldness. He loved it. And when they prayed for boldness, he piled all of the rest of it right on top of them. Blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, the lame leaping and rejoicing, folks being healed, all kinds of things happening. But top on their prayer list was a prayer for boldness. Hallelujah. To preach the word of God in Jerusalem. To tell and declare that Jesus Christ is not in that tomb. He is alive, and something took place in the upper room that you can have. Hallelujah. 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 30. First, we find this out, that a fresh refilling of the Holy Ghost automatically produces boldness. You ever get to where you're kind of timid and backward and the Holy Ghost is nudging you and you're fighting it and bucking and snorting and doing everything? Oh, no, God, no. I'm telling you. Amen. You don't need to go and get a course from Dale Carnegie of how to feel confident in talking to people in order for you to be able to witness. I'll tell you, all you need to do is make a trip down to the altar and say, dear God, I want a fresh refilling of the Holy Ghost. Because when it's alive and fresh in my soul, there was natural boldness that came out of their lives. Hallelujah. I discovered that ninth chapter, you can look it up. I'm just saying all these things because I want to get you thinking like I'm thinking today. 27th and the 29th verse there. Boldness about the name of Jesus shows true believers who their brothers really are. Amen. Hallelujah. Boldness about the name of Jesus shows true believers who their brothers really are. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I don't have no problem calling a Saul after he's been knocked down on the road to Damascus and he's on his way to get baptized and receive the Holy Ghost. I don't have no problem calling him a brother because I know he's going on the right trail. But I have a lot of trouble calling somebody a brother that bucks me over the beautiful revelation of the name of Jesus Christ. Look it up when you get home. Boldness about the name shows true believers who their brothers are. Amen. When you get to talking, amen, about the name of Jesus Christ to other young people from other churches and other denominations, I'm telling you, when you start getting bold about that name, about that name, about the name of Jesus, about who he really was, about the revelation that you've got, I'm telling you, you'll know who your brothers are. You'll know who they are. Hallelujah. We are in desperate need of young people getting a revelation of some boldness that will fill their hearts that will let them to see intricately where their place is in the kingdom of God. Get them to understand exactly how they fit in, and that they feel a niche that not even their pastor can fit in their local church. That they have a spot that if they don't feel it, and I'm going to show it to you by the scripture here today, that if they don't feel it, it is a precarious hour for the ministry, for the men of God that fight so faithfully for the cause and the work of the Lord. I have seen many glorious things, that doors that God has opened up this past year. I've watched it, but I've sat back and thought, God, all of the fullness that you have given unto me and open doors that have come, if you do not place that same boldness within the hearts of the young people in the church that I pastor, we will never be able to do the work that God has for us to do. Amen. I received a call, and I got this call from a particular very, very large Adventist academy that was there. They said, we have been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and we wondered if we could have a Pentecostal preacher that would come over here and talk to us in the amphitheater about these gifts of the Spirit. I said, what are you interested in? He said, particularly the one about talking in tongues. He said, you know, I'm kind of an outsider trying to look in, and I don't understand much about it, and all of these young people are interested in it, and they want to know all about it. I said, man, I will be happy. I said, I'll do anything, any schedule. I'll be there. Hallelujah. I got there, and there they were, filled up that amphitheater that was there, and I felt the unction of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Lord. He had already taught them and explained to them that talking in tongues in the book of Corinthians was something that had ceased from the best that he understood. He didn't know what was going on today. I got up there in just a few short minutes in front of them young people and began to explain to them that the word for gift in Corinthians is a completely different word than the word for gift in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And when they say that it's the same gift, they're all confused. And I showed them very simply, because Corinthians says that gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues is only for two, and at the most three that's there. I took them to the book of Acts and showed them right there where at one time at least 15 different languages were being spoken as the Holy Ghost was calling upon them. Hallelujah! One of them raised their hand and said, you mean that even I right now can receive the Holy Ghost? I said, oh yeah, you right now, you can have it. It's for you, this experience is. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Got all done with that session, and the teacher came up to me. He said, man, isn't it strange that you, a Pentecostal preacher, get an invitation from an Adventist academy? I said, man, there's nothing strange about that. He said, well, isn't that odd? I said, oh, no, that's scriptural. He said, what do you mean, scripture? I said, the Bible says that even the angels desire to look in to this experience that we Pentecostals have got. It's not strange that you'd want to know about it. It's not strange that your young people be hungry for it. There's nothing odd about that. Hallelujah. They are hungry, they are hungry, they are hungry, and they're looking for a church that is alive and well, of young people that are baptized with boldness, that are unashamed to declare the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I got home from that 2 days later. Amen. From the Lord Catholic High School there. One of the men called up on the staff there, and he said, we've allowed a couple of our students, they've chosen different religions, and we got two that want to know about Pentecostalism. Said, would you mind them coming over? Would it be too terrible of an inconvenience if they came over and had an interview with you? I said, send them on. Send the whole class if you want. I'll take them that are studying. Amen. Pentecostalism, just fine. They got over there. Said, they began to talk. They said, boy, I'm telling you, this is the first time that our instructors and the leaders of our Catholic school have ever allowed us to even peer into any other religion. And said, man, when we got an opportunity, we didn't want to know about the rest of them that are kind of like us. We wanted to know about Pentecost. We wanted to know about what makes you so different. Hallelujah. The young man sat there with the tape recorder. The young lady was writing notes as we talked about Pentecost, the free gift of God, baptism, the beauty of the name of Jesus Christ, the splendor of it all. She said, man, I might get in trouble for this. She said, but I'm going to try and see without them having any knowledge of it if I can come back to your services. She said, because I'm telling you, I am sick of dead, dull, boring church services. I want something different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Tone that was upon the early church. If we'll start praying for that at the top of the list, we're going to see miracles. We're going to see signs and wonders. But we're going to see God add to the church in a beautiful way. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. This past year we had a couple of individuals from particular, amen, interest in the news came to our church, and they said, boy, there's something about it we've been studying. Why so many Latinos are leaving the Catholic faith? We want to know what it's all about. We got some of them that are staying with the traditional. Some are going to the charismatic. And then there's some that have forsaken it all, and it looks like they're flooding to the Pentecostal. Said, we're interested in finding out what you've got around here. I said, come on out, Sunday night service, see for yourself. Amen. They came out that night. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost fell. Amen. Young people, teenagers, slain in the power of the Spirit of God, down on the floor talking in tongues. They came and they looked around. One of them looked at my wife and said, wow, y'all have got what the world needs. You've got what the world needs. Amen. I said, we know that. We know that. We know it. It's time we get bold about it. Time we get bold about what we have got within our bosom of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Go ahead, sit down. Amen. Said, we want to come back. Amen. It was 2 or 3 weeks later. They finally came back. Amen. One of them looked at me one night and said, you know what? You might not know this, but we, amen, belong to that denomination that we're doing this study for. And after we left your church, said, the reason we hadn't been back, he said, because we've gone back and visited our old Catholic church again just to see if they had anything that could compare with what we felt around here the night we was here. Hallelujah. I said, what'd you find out? This lady looked at me and said, they ain't got it. Hallelujah. I said, I could have told you that 3 weeks ago. Amen. I could have saved you the trouble. What we have got as Pentecostals is the most beautiful experience that the world has
ever known. And why in God's earth that we take the cockhead about it, I'll never know. Why in God's creation that we, amen, have waited this long to get brave enough to walk up to the county seat, to walk up to the county courthouse, to walk up to the places of government, to walk up to them and believe God that we have got what they need. Hallelujah! We've got it. We've got it, brother.
Sit down. Amen.
But let me tell you, the enemy that we have that fights the hardest against our boldness is the fellow that I read to you about in my text today. Fellow by the name of Ishbi-Benob. Bible lets us to know of all of the massive giants that filled the land of Palestine, all that were there, Hebron, the city of Gath. Children of Israel, it kind of got a feeling in their heart that giants and killing giants is left for a special hybrid breed of giant killers. I mean, you have either got to have the physique of Samson, or you got to be one of them out-of-your-mind jerks like David that is 17 years old, took the fight to the giant and went running toward him. Amen. Or you've got to be like that 80-year-old loony named Caleb before you'll ever get brave enough to try to tackle with the giant. I mean, we'll handle those guys that are 6'11" and under. We'll take care of them guys. We got to get up a little bit high and stretch out to swipe at their neck. But when you talk to us about them guys that we can't even jump up and touch the top of their head, you got to have a special breed of fella before we'll ever mess with them at all. And this kind of mentality, titles to boldness of God's church and talented, powerful men in the Word of God. We read of them killing 300 men. We read of different lieutenants single-handedly. Read of the different ones. But you'll never find a one of them willing to try to tangle up with the giants. The giants were left for somebody that's way out there in no man's land, that's on 14 dimensions of spiritual height, higher than what I'll ever attain. It's not for lowly, little old 5'5" guys and 6'0" guys. It's just not for us to do. But the Bible let us to know that one day they kept on thinking that same ignorant thought, that David is the only guy that can take down the giant. And David, every time a giant came, it was his duty and responsibility to get out there and duke it out with the giant. David went out there, drew the sword, and he started fighting against this fella by the name of Ishbi-Benob. But something different happened this day, my friend. Instead of David prevailing, instead of Ishbi-Benob being the fella that was running home licking the wounds, or the fella whose head got chopped off, the tide was turning in a different direction. David was weakening. David was getting weary. David was getting tired. David wasn't coming out on top like he's supposed to do. But nobody offered to jump in the fracas. Nobody offered to do anything about it. Amen. They just didn't think it was in their pedigree. It wasn't in their job description when they became a Pentecostal conqueror that they had to tangle with the giants and to mess with those fellas. That was all up to the preacher. The big man of God sits up there so powerfully. But David struggled against him. He fought against him. He's driven out. Said, I'm going to nail you, fella. You got my brother back there in the valley of Elah a few years ago. You laid my brother Goliath out, and I'm fixing to make you pay for that. Vengeance is mine. I'm going to nail you. And they struggled and they fought against one another. David, the skilled warrior, but strength started ebbing from him. He fought against this fella until finally the Bible said that David waxed faint. There he began to stagger and to stumble until finally, amen, I can see David laying down on the ground in sheer exhaustion, figuring it's all over but the funeral procession back at Jerusalem. And he's driven up, pulled out his sword, and I can see him headed over there to slice that head clean off at the shoulders. And say, whoo, won't I have a tale to tell Mama and Daddy of what I did in battle today. I paid back the fella that got our big brother. I got him back. This is what I did. Who was this giant? I mean, how in the world could anybody have defeated David at this point? How could it have ever been done? I mean, David, surely he must have been twice the size of Goliath. He had to have been 18 feet tall. No, my friend, if you will read about Ishbibenob, you will find that Ishbibenob was a half pint in comparison to Goliath. Goliath could handle a sword and a spear that was twice the size of the one Ishbibenob could handle. I mean, he could only swing half of that massive weapon of war, of what his big brother could do. What was there about him? Instead of 600 shekels for a spear, his only weighed 300 shekels. He was a small fry. But let me tell you, he was a tough little shrimp. He was a shrimp by the size of giants. But he was still bigger than the rest of them. But he was a mighty warrior. What about him was so tough? Let me tell you what his name means. The name Ishbibenob means sit down and be fruitful. Let me tell you, the biggest enemy that a bold generation ever had is a giant by the name of sit down and be fruitful. The ignorant idea that the devil has got down in the craw of some Pentecostals that in order to be alive and well in a part of the church, what do you got to do? Well, you got to receive the Holy Ghost. You got to get baptized in Jesus' name. You got to believe, you know, about holiness, separation. Well, start paying your tithes. What do you do after that? Well, next thing that's left is just sit down and be fruitful. That's all it's left to do. I mean, you know, after all. Woo! Hallelujah. Pastor ain't going to mind much of me. You know how much I put in them tied envelopes every week. Got my sleeves just right, my hairdo just right. I got the Holy Ghost and I shout and dance on Sunday night. I join in the victory march. But what else did you do? Hallelujah. To take a bold message to a lost and a dying world. I just sit down. I'm just growing fruit. You're not growing one bit of fruit. Amen. That's a misnomer. It's impossible to sit down and be fruitful. There's not one seed of any kind of fruit tree that's ever produced any fruit except the moment it was planted in the ground. It had to start struggling to get up out of that ground, to start going skyward, to start bearing branches, to start bearing leaves, but having fruit, it never did sit down and bear any fruit at all. But I'm going to tell you, that giant that we have struggled with for so long, you can fuss with me after I'm done if you want to, but that giant is killing some of our godly pastors. That giant that got some of our burdened, loving, precious, courageous men of God that received a burden and a message from God Almighty. Maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, maybe just last night while he was preaching, that said, go to this city and build a church for the glory of God, and I'll give you revival. And into that city, amen, flowed the most precious thing that God could ever give a city. And that was an anointed man of God with a message to preach and declare and break the chains of bondage and the powers of darkness of that city and set it free from bondage and iniquity. Full of zeal, death, and desire, and fervor. That man of God has fought his Goliath. Every pastor that's ever pastored has fought Goliath. They have fought, amen, their other enemies, Ahithophel. They fought their Shimeites that have flung mud at them and told half-truths. They fought against Absalom. They've had rebellions in their own churches. They've known what it was like to fight their way through that. And yet they still came out victorious. They were glorious victors. But let me tell you something. I don't care how bona fide of a giant killer you think that man of God is that filled your pulpit. I'm going to tell you, he cannot kill the giant of sit down and be fruitful by himself. He can't do it. It'll kill him. It'll kill him. It'll destroy him. It'll put him in the grave. Woo! I'm feeling the Holy Ghost around here. Hallelujah! You mark it down when you get home. You see your pastor after today, you just ask him, is what Brother White preached the truth? Ask him, is it the truth? Is that really how it is? Do you struggle some nights until the darkest, lonely hours of the night in the middle of your prayer room? Do you agonize until your pillow is wet with your tears? Saying, God, I've got to have revival. I've got to have revival. The people are so complacent. They're happy for the Holy Ghost, but they just want to sit down and be fruitful. They want to warm up you and enjoy the blessings of Pentecost. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, on the underside of a hill, looked up one of the normal 6 foot and under young Israelite men. He woke up and he looked over there and he thought, dear God, are my eyes telling me the truth? David, the giant killer, is laying on the ground, almost dead, bleeding. And Ishbi-Benob has got a grin on his face and his sword is glistening in the sun as he's fixing to slice his head off at the shoulder blade. Abishai looked over there and he said, dear, I don't care what anybody else is going to do about this situation, but over my dead body is that fixing to happen to Israel. Woo! Hallelujah. Over my dead body is that soaker fixing to wipe out the man of God. Oh, the Bible says that Abishai, you look up the meaning of that word Abishai. Abishai means the father of a gift. Can I tell you something? If you will get a baptism of boldness this morning, you will do more and just bless yourself and bless the man of God. But out of your loins, you will become the father of a gift for that church like no other gift has ever been given. I've talked to people that came in and received the Holy Ghost, and they said, "Oh, Brother White, I'm desirous of spiritual gifts. I want the one over here about miracles. I want this one over here about discerning the spirit." I said, "Sister, speaking it anywhere close to that. That's the one you're wanting. I want this one over here about this, that, and the other." Does anybody care that this kind of gift is the best gift you could give unto your local youth group? The very best gift. Abishai looked up over on yonder side of the hill, and he said, "Fellas, I don't have time to call for recruits. I don't have time to holler and say, 'Hey, it's Abner over there. Hey, it's one of the great generals over there. Hey, somebody come help.' There's no time to wait. The swords are coming down." And Abishai said, man, something's flashing all over me. Something's getting inside of me. Oh, he jumped up from what he was doing, and he started running towards the battle. He started screaming, hey. Oh, Ishbibenob looked up. He saw him coming. He said, "That's all right, fella. Come on, big boy. If I can whoop David, I can whoop you too." Abishai thought, "That's what you think, buddy." Woo! Hallelujah. And before I got the boldness, I got right back over there when I saw the scene clearly and I saw what's going on. Yeah, I've ran from you before, Abishai. I've ran. It's big enough. But I'm coming to fight you right now. He started running, screaming toward that old giant of sit down and be fruitful. Pretty soon they were toe to toe. Brother, here was old Abishai just getting it. Woo! When you get to feeling the Holy Ghost, you can swing a sword like you never swung one before. When you get baptized with boldness, you can witness and declare the word of God like you never dreamed you could have done. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He got a hold of that sword, and they start dueling it out. And old Abishai said, "Come on, I'm going to kill you, buddy. I'm going to kill you, big boy. I'm going to slaughter you. I'm going to wipe you out. You're not about to get by with this." And the Bible said, when it was all said and done, Abishai was standing there with Ishbibenob head in his hand. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who was this fellow named Abishai? Well, he's probably one of them special breed too. He must have been, you know, some special giant killer. He had to be one of them guys that studied scripture with a monk all during high school, you know. When the rest of the kids were out there cutting up and doing things they shouldn't have done, he was probably all locked up inside his locker in the gym room, screaming, "Oh, God, send revival. Send revival. Send revival." No, Abishai was your normal, common, ordinary young person. Abishai, if you'll read the scripture, brother, he wasn't no lily white with a big halo that he paraded around and said, "I'm the darling young spiritual hero that's coming up. Just give me a few years and look at me." He had failures. He had mistakes. He had problems. As a matter of fact, if you'll read the scripture about Abishai, you'll find out that David even had to rebuke him, had to bench him. Sick of young people that are all gung-ho for God and full of boldness until the first time the pastor has to bench them. The first time the pastor has to say, "You was out too late at night. You was listening to rock music. You're not singing in the choir." And so they sit on the pew, and from then on, they're just a dud of a firecracker. They feel like, well, I made mistakes, and nobody's got confidence in me, and nobody's got trust in me, so I'll just mealy mouth around. I'll just live for God, but instead of running the aisles, everybody knows I sinned. I'll never be worthy to run the aisles again. God help your thinking. You wasn't worthy to run in the first place. You wasn't worthy to shout and dance anyhow. You made all kinds of mistakes. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Well. See, let me get up in you, servants, and give a sermonette. Oh, I got anointed when I was testifying and leading a song. But now, since I've done this and done that and done the other, I'm going to go around with a hangdog, defeated attitude the rest of my life. Let me tell you what you'll do. You'll flat backslide. You'll lose out with God. You'll go right out the back door of the church. It'll take a little bit longer, but you'll never make it. Oh, Evans, I said, you know what? I know I made mistakes. I know I've done things I shouldn't have done. I know I've been a disappointment unto the man of God. I know I let him down. I know I let the youth group down. I know I shouldn't have done it. But why should I let him down again? Why should I let him get killed? Why should I let him get wiped out? I'm coming to the battle. I'm going to fight for him. I'm going to fight for him. I'm going to do the will of God. Be seated. Abishai. Woo! Got filled with boldness. He laid out the whole issue. But now, the Bible said the first thing he did, he secured the man of God. My friend, let me tell you, David was probably laying there in a coma, because the Bible said the giant thought to have slain David. If he had seen him twitching and jerking and jiving, saying, you wait till my recruits get here, he wouldn't have thought he had him dead. But here is the man of God laying in his own pool of blood, having given all of his life for deliverance in Israel. And the giant of sit down and be fruitful has got him almost dead. Oh, Abishai came up on the scene. He said, I'm telling you, I'll do anything I can do. I'll fight till there's blood in my boots, David. I'm not about to let it happen. I can see him giving old CPR to David. I can see him giving his heart a massage. I can watch him giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And then, come on, breathe, David. Come on, breathe, David. Come on, get up. Let me tell you, David, it's not all over. I just killed his Ishbibenob. I just slaughtered him. The victory's ours in Israel. Somebody finally got boldness that fired the preacher. Somebody finally got on fire that fired the man of God. Let me tell you what happened. If you will come to the rescue when you leave this youth convention of your godly pastor, that has given blood, sweat, and tears, and everything he's got, he's given it for you, young person. I'm telling you, he's given it for you. He loves you. He's counseled you. He's been in the emergency room when you had an overdose of drugs. He's prayed and believed God for you over and over again. But if you sit on a Pentecostal pew and you let the giant of sit down and be fruitful get all over you like it got all over some in the past, you will defeat that man of God. Instead of faith in his preaching when he stands in the pulpit, instead of fire in his eyes when he declares to you that this church is going to grow. We're going to outgrow this building, and we're going to build another one, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. He's going to struggle against that giant until finally it will defeat him. But Abishai said, you know what? Let me just say this right here. Your job in getting this kind of boldness that I'm talking about is not to start swinging swords at your brothers and your sisters. It's not to run over there. Say, you lousy, no good for nothing. When's the last time you won a soul? I passed out 50 tracks Saturday. How many did you get? Ignoramus. The battle isn't back on that side of the hill. The battle's over there where the man of God's at. Hallelujah. We start swinging swords at one another, getting up in testimony service, blasting cannons at each other, saying how dead the church is, how dull and boring. But I alone am here with fire in my bosom. I'm telling you, you'll defeat the cause of the work of God. But if you can make it up your mind, the enemy that I'm going to fight with is I'm going to hook arm in arm with the man of God. I'm not going to criticize my brothers and my sisters. I'm not going to browbeat them. I'm not going to put them down. But I'm going to fight that giant. I'm going to swing at him. I'm going to come up victorious. We're going to see it, Brother Pastor. Me and you's going to have revival, Brother Pastor. Me and you's going to see it happen, Brother Pastor. We're going to get it done. Shame on you if you can walk into the service 30 minutes before it starts and you can hear the lone cry of that man of God up there around the altar, believing God for a move of the Spirit that night, and you stop in the lobby to ratchet jaw with your friends. Shame on you. You need to say, dear God, I'm going to be an Abishai. If nobody's going to pray with him, I'm going to pray with him. I'm going to believe God with him. I'm going to get in touch with God. I'm not about to let that giant kill that precious man of God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. We're wanting to have it this year. We're wanting to have it this year. We're wanting to have revival. We're wanting to do outreach. We're wanting to win and reach our community for the glory of God. But I'm going to tell you, there's not enough preachers that can get the job done. God needs some Abishais that have fell flat on their face in the past, that have ate dirt, that have made mistakes. So wake up and say, God, give me some boldness. Give me some boldness. I want to do the work of God. The last thing I want to point out to you, you may be seated. I could talk about this, but I don't have enough time. Bible says that Ishbi-Benob girded himself with a new sword. You know what? I kind of suspect he might have tried once before to get enough courage to go fight David. Well, you don't know whether he did or didn't. Don't tell me whether he did or not. All of a sudden, this day, he felt good because he had a brand new sword on. And he said, I'm going after him. I'm going after him. There's some old swords that Ishbi-Benob used to swing that finally we convinced our people that you got to pitch your tents around the tabernacle. You got to be involved in the work of the Lord. And a lot of our young people have started getting involved in programs and Bible quizzing. These are all our projects. Don't think I'm putting it down at all. Getting involved in all of these things. Let me tell you something.
the new sword that East Bibbanov is swinging nowadays. He's saying you can clean the church 10 times a week if you want to. I don't care. You can get involved in every program that the church has. But don't you dare get out on the streets and start witnessing. Don't you dare get out there. You do, buddy. I got a new sword to meet you with. Don't you dare start taking what you've got outside of the temple into the streets. Start declaring. But when Abishai got this boldness, brother, let me tell you, it is contagious. Ooh, hallelujah. The Bible says that when Abishai got done wiping out old Ishbibanov, the very next battle, there was another 5-footer that said, "Woo! You did that last time, huh?" "Yeah, I sure did." Old Sibachai said, "You ain't getting the privilege this time." "Woo! Hallelujah. Since I've found out that the bona fide giant killers, the preachers, ain't the only ones that can bring down the giants, I ain't going to give you the privilege to do it again, big boy." Sibachai said, "Man, I got to try my hand at it." Woo! Big old burly staff came up waddling down the road. And Sibachai said, "I don't need no help, fellas. I watched what Abishai did. And I think that the same boldness that he had can rub off on me. I believe that if he can do it, I can do it." And he got a hold of staff. And the Bible said he slew staff. The next day, another one of Goliath's brothers came down. All of a sudden, old Elhanan said, "No, Abishai, you can't do it. No, Sibachai, you can't do it. It's my turn. It's my turn. I'm going to get a hold of him. I'm going to conquer him. I'm going to kill him. I want that same boldness." The Bible said, finally, the last giant, big old odd-looking dude with 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes, came burrowing out there. Brother, you talk about looking weird. I'm going to tell you, the more people that get infected with boldness, the bigger and the weirder the giants look, the less it matters. Ooh, hallelujah. All of a sudden, Jonathan said, Abishai. Sibachai. Elhanan. This is my turn. I don't care if he's got 16 fingers. I don't care if he's got 18 toes. I don't care what he's got. I watched you kill a giant. I watched you kill a giant. I watched you kill a giant. And now it's my turn. I'm going to kill my giant. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get bold. I'm going to get courageous. I'm going to do the work of God. Let's stand together. Let's ask the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to give it to us. Give it to us boldness. 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 We're praying for it, God. We're praying for it. We're praying for it. Hallelujah. 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 I want someone to come to the piano and the organ. Hallelujah. When I read the story of the Beirut massacre that killed so many of our men in their barracks there at Beirut, and I heard the guard tell the story of, "You ought to have seen the fellow when he got past the last checkpoint," and I started shooting at him. But he knew he had got that laden with explosive truck through to hit that barrack. He knew it was going to blow his body in a blazing inferno. But he looked back at me while I was shooting at him, and the biggest old grin filled his face. He said, "Aha, you dummy. I got through. I'm going to accomplish my task." I thought, "Oh, God.
if Muslim young people who have a God that cannot hear one of their prayers, have never been delivered from drugs, have never known freedom from the vices of this world, if they can get that bold for their God, what is going to happen if you sound the trumpet? We're still locked in the four walls of our church building, afraid that we might have to witness to somebody. We might have to get out there. You get this boldness I'm talking about, brother. All of a sudden, Sister Sally over there in the pew behind you, go to say, man, I got to have what he's got. I got to get what he's got. Like a chain reaction. Bang, 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 bang. All over your church. And that man of God, you talk about a glow coming on his face. You talk about color coming back in his cheeks. You talk about his chest starting to breathe again. Woo! Hallelujah. He'll shock you with the excitement that he'll have when he sees that somebody came to fight for him. Somebody came to fight with him. Somebody took time enough to quit worrying about their little skirmishes. How many temples showed up in the mirror when they came in before church? I can't worship God because I'm so self-conscious tonight. Dear God, he's bleeding! He's wounded! He's struggling with that giant! You gotta help him! You gotta help him! You gotta help him! If we're gonna see revival in California, you gotta help him with boldness. Hallelujah. Folks, tell you one more thing, then we're gonna sing and we're gonna worship God. Hallelujah. Had a man come over one day to our local church. Big old burly dude, and he was mad as a hornet, not over anything to do there at the church, but he was mad. He came into the office there, he stood up over the desk, and he was quite a bit bigger than me, and I was sitting down there at the desk just looking at him as he was yelling, cussing, screaming, stomping, bucking, snorting. One brother in our church heard what was going on in there. Amen. Woo! If it don't make your blood boil to see something happening to the man of God that loves you, you need a transfusion. You must have spiritual aid. You can't muster up some courage, some boldness. You see that man of God, all of a sudden he got upset. He started pacing back and forth in front of that office door. He started looking in. He'd look inside there, and I was looking up over the shoulder of this guy, and I was watching him. I just smiled. He stood at the door and he looked over the door. Nodding his head. No. Lay off, brother, lay off. Those next minutes, he thought, man, this guy kept it up finally. He thought, that did it. My pastor he's too crazy. I mean, he's too crazy to call for reinforcements when he needs it. He said, I'm going to come give you some. He's got a big old 32-ounce claw hammer we've been framing on our building. He's got that hammer up here. He held it up, and he came to the door. Hit the door. He looked in at me just to say the word, just say the word. Hallelujah. I shook my head, no, he couldn't take no for an answer. He said, Brother White, is there a thing okay around here? Snarled at that dude, and he turned around and looked at him. I said, yeah, everything's fine, Brother Jim, everything's fine. The man said, oh, God,
Well, just forget it.
And turn around and walk down the door. Woo! Hallelujah.
I doubt that Gaddafi
will ever send a hit squad to try to wipe out your pastor.
But if he does, you ain't willing to give every ounce of blood you got for him. Something's wrong with you. But though he'll never come, I promise you, the giant of sit down and be fruitful will walk in the doors of your church. He's probably already there waiting for you to get back from youth convention. Thinking, dear God, I hope they didn't hear what that preacher preached. I hope they didn't hear it. I hope they'll just leave me alone. A few more lonely nights of discouragement. A little more depression. A little more of dragging down the man of God. And I'll stop revival in this city. I'll stop revival right here. I'll put it out. But thank God, there's some young people at youth convention 1986 that said over my dead body, I'm getting a bonus! I'm gonna fight! We're gonna have revival! It's gonna be contagious! Oh, let's sing unto the Lord! Hallelujah! Yes.
Of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Sing it.
Give it myself.
Oh, yes.
I live in sacrifice. Do what you will.
Oh, sing it.
Well, the heat may leave. For I know in whom I have
been.
Oh, sing it.
Committed to the cause.
Jesus Christ.
There's a cause in your city.
Give it myself.
There's a cause in your city.
Sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. For I know who I have been.
I'll tell you what I want us to do. I don't want all of you, because there ain't enough room for all of us. And I don't want any of you that are halfway thinking about it, feeling bad, if you would. But I want every young person that's made up your mind right now, dear God, every ounce of strength I got within me. From this day forward, I'm going home, and I'm going to be an Abishai to my local church. I'm going to be the father of a gift around there. I'm going to be the mother of a gift around there. I want you to start a victory march all the way around this lower head. Now don't join in if you're just having fun, but just be advertised. Sing it, Sister Grandson. Just be advertised.
Come on,
all the way around this lower part. All the way around it.
Give it my time.
Yes.
Yes. I live inside.
Yes.
And you do it with
me. That's it.
Yes.
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 Yes. Get some bonus. Get some bonus.
Wherever he may lead, for I know the Bible.
It's been enough, hate that. Young people,